Brady versus Rodgers, Allen versus Mahomes, the conference championships are all set. And man, we're excited to talk about it.
Oh boy.
But I'm maybe even more excited to talk about our top five 2021 NFL mock draft.
That's right.
We're going to break it all down for you. It's a great episode, so let's get straight to it.
Welcome to the Fantasyland Football Podcast.
Hey there. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hey there.
Welcome.
Hey.
Hey there. Welcome into the show. Hey there, bud. Hey, buddy.
I was not
expecting. Hey, buddy.
Hey there.
Yeah. I threw you off guard, didn't I? Hey, it is Tuesday, the 19th of January, and it's a beautiful day to be talking about football. Every day is a beautiful day to be talking about football, Badaki. This is Zach. That is Badaki. Badaki, how's your day going so far?
Yeah, good. I'm actually really excited about this this podcast. Plus, you know, Super Bowl is among us in a sense. I have one more week, and we know who's
going to
be in the Super Bowl.
We're going to the Super Bowl. What's that from? I don't know. There's always random like videos in my head.
It sounds like something from Toy Story.
Yeah, maybe. I should be a voice actor, eh? Nah, yeah. Maybe not. All right, lots to talk about on today's show. We're glad to be with you. Obviously, as you know, we are going to be talking about the playoffs, the conference championships. There's two matchups to talk about. One of these, well, both, two of these teams are going to the Super Bowl. It's officially set. And probably for some reason, I'm more excited to talk about the second half of this podcast, which is our mock draft. Both of us, we have different picks. We're going to break down what we think will be the top five picks in the 2021 NFL draft. I'm hyped to talk about it.
Yeah.
But first, let's quickly talk about some news.
What is going on here?
All right, what is going on in the National Football League? This is your need-to-know news. Quite a few coaches have been hired. The Chargers have officially found their coach. They have hired Brandon Staley. The Jets hired Robert Saleh. The Lions are looking like they're going to hire Saints assistant Dan Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of head coaches are falling into place. Urban Meyer's officially named the Jags head coach since we last did this podcast. There's only a couple head coaching vacancies really wide open now, and that's the Eagles and the Texans. I'm not sure how many head coaches are looking at the Texans situation right now and thinking, oh boy, I'd love to coach that team.
Yeah, there's definitely the one big head coach name out there for me that has still been interviewing, that's technically still in the playoffs, is Eric Bieniemy. And I'm assuming he's going to one of those two teams. I hope it's not the Eagles, because obviously he's in the NFC East. But if he goes to the Texans,
I really don't want that to happen.
I hope it's not the Texans either, because imagine going to a team that basically has no draft picks, has no talent, technically.
Yep.
But
I know. I want him to be a head coach. I just don't like either of these teams for him.
It's a bit scary for him.
Talking about the NFL draft, this guy was pretty much a lock for the first round, maybe second round pick. Chris Olave out of Ohio State, he is returning to college. He's going to play his senior year. For me, that is big news because this could have been a guy we would have been talking about all year in fantasy. He had that potential to go to a team and make an impact off the bat. He is going to bet on himself from what it sounds like. And enter his senior year. I'm hesitant. I want the best for this guy. I just think if you're already a projected first or second round pick, there's more to lose going back to college than there is potentially to gain. But obviously it seems like he's going to bet on himself and say, hey, I've got more to prove.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. I mean, hopefully he's making the right decision for himself for his future. But it's clear that he thinks it's the best decision. You know, maybe I'm assuming he's going to be the number one receiver there. Everyone else is entering the draft. He doesn't have Mac Jones. Mac Jones entered the draft, right? Is that confirmed? Well,
that would be Justin Fields, Chris Olave, Ohio State. Justin Fields is entering the
draft. So Justin Fields, yeah, you're right. So Justin Fields, like, yeah, everyone else. So when I say everyone else, I mean like he's
it'll be a completely different team next year.
Yeah, exactly. So why stay? You know, his draft capital can really be hurt.
Yeah. Well, he's betting on himself. I hope it works out for him. Patrick Mahomes, not sure if you heard of him. Ever heard of him? The superstar quarterback, NFL MVP, is in concussion protocol right now. It seems like he's going to play from his tweets, which is funny enough. That's how we're getting information right now, is from his Twitter.
Yeah.
But it seems like he will play in this conference championship game. We'll talk about that a little bit more. And last on news is, again, Deshaun Watson is in our news section. And that's because there's continual reports every time we do a podcast of new information coming out. The newest from what we've heard is he's unlikely to play another snap for Houston. He's not answering any calls from the team. And apparently there was a pro Deshaun Watson march. A bunch of fans were marching to NRG Stadium to accomplish what? I'm not sure. But Watson, and he said it in a very kind way on Twitter, asked them not to do that. Because guess what? You're in a pandemic. And he didn't want to cause a spread. He didn't want him to be the cause of a spread. It's like, you never want to be the reason that a COVID outbreak would happen. But this situation is just, it's continually heading downhill for this organization.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what's going to happen. I wonder if J.J. Watt's going to stay, if he's going to want to leave, or maybe he stays and technically Texas and he goes to the Cowboys or something. I think he loves Texas. That's a weird thought process, but yeah, the man has done a lot for that state.
Of course. Is there any way that this relationship can be salvaged between Deshaun and the Texans?
I personally think it can.
Okay.
Depending on who the head coach is, this may sound weird, but like if Eric Benham Bienemy comes in, he sits down with Deshaun Watson. You know, they're both African American. They sit down, you know, they talk to each other. It's like, look, we're gonna do this together. We're gonna be,
yeah.
I don't know if has there been an African American coach and a quarterback that has won a Super Bowl together?
I don't know, actually. You know, that's a good question. I don't think there has.
So I think that's a nice dream, like, story. Yeah. Like a nice, like, wow, like, let's do this.
Yep.
Let's start from this organization. We're going to do our own thing here. I'm going to bring you some people, and we're going to do some good stuff. But,
well, it's an interesting story. We'll see what happens. I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I personally would just love to see him in a new team next year. I would love to see him out of Houston.
I think so as well. I like to see him in a new team, but I think it would be a crazy story of him coming back and saying, I'm giving it all for this city and for this coach.
Yeah. All right, guys, there is a lot happening in the offseason. A lot of pieces will be moving, a lot of offseason moves from free agents, trades, the draft. There's so much to keep up with. So the best way for you to keep up to date with everything is to follow us on our social media accounts. Instagram is at Fantasyland Football. Twitter is at Fantasyland_FB. You can watch the show on YouTube. And now we have actually started a Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/FantasylandFam. That is our forum for you to interact with us, not only us, but all of the Fantasyland community. Yeah. You can ask people questions about the draft. You can ask people questions about fantasy, about draft picks, about your fantasy football draft, about trades in the season, waiver wire. It's your open forum to communicate with each other. And we're really excited to grow that this year with you. We're going to obviously give you the opportunity to post whatever you want in it. You know, this is your chance to be a part of the community in that way. And of course, you can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform in the world. Drop us a review if you would be so kind. And last thing we'll say is YouTube. We love how many people have been following us on YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe if you haven't yet.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to watch the show. You can see our beautiful faces while we talk football. Let's talk about some conference championship matchups.
Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute? Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute?
All right, there is only two matchups to talk about. That's it's two, and then it goes to one next time because it'll be the big old Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
So we've got two matchups, the NFC and the AFC, one game for all the marbles in each conference.
Mm.
It's getting to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, it's interesting. And who would have thought, you know, Tom against Aaron.
Yeah.
It's something special here. You know, you kind of want to see it happen for both of these guys again. You know, you want Tom to be this GOAT, to come in the first year on a different team and change this organization and this franchise, to take him to the Super Bowl and win it at home, essentially. If he can make it to the Super Bowl, he's going to win this Super Bowl in Tampa for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, that would be what a storyline that would be. And I'm sure the city of Tampa Bay would just be obsessed with that.
And
we actually asked a question on our Facebook group. And the question was, what two quarterbacks do you want to see in the Super Bowl? Because this is going to be an epic battle between two great quarterbacks, no matter how you look at it. You've got the options, obviously, Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, and Allen. What's your ideal? What would you as a fan like to see in the Super Bowl? What would be that matchup? I personally would like to see Brady and Mahomes because it's the GOAT versus the young GOAT. Like it's the best quarterback we've ever seen versus maybe the potential to overtake the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. What a storyline that would be. Do you have an alternative example that you would prefer?
No, all my alternative examples look, I like the two old guys going against each other, Tom and Aaron, and obviously it's not possible, but I wish both of these guys could be in the Super Bowl, and I also love the two young guys.
Yeah.
You know, in Josh Allen and Mahomes, I wish both of them. I think both of these teams, or both of these games, are actually Super Bowl games. If this is going to be the closest.
These are both Super Bowl teams, right?
Yeah, these are going to be the closest games that we're going to get to see of these two top players, the top four quarterbacks playing against each other in a Super Bowl caliber game. So,
yeah,
I agree with you. I like the GOAT and the young guy for sure.
I guess one way to look at it is if it is Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, then it is the State Farm Super Bowl because one of them will come out on top and ultimately be the State Farm face of the franchise. All jokes aside, okay, let's talk about the NFC first, Badaki. We've got the Bucks. They are traveling to the ice-cold tundra of Green Bay. I think that is a big factor in this game because for most of the year, Brady's been playing in the sun with, you know, Tampa Bay. That, you know, it's less harsh on his older body. That sounds weird. but to go now, and he's done it before, obviously, in New England. But it's not something to underlook, the weather in Green Bay, because these Packer players are used to it by now. But it's very different to play in Tampa Bay and Green Bay at this time of the year.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think we have to remember that my guy did it for 12 years in New England. You know, like he...
20 years.
20 years in New England. I mean, yeah. he knows what cold means, you know?
I agree, but... I guess here's a good example, and I am not at all an NFL quarterback. I will never be. I will never play in the NFL, only through Madden, face of the franchise. But me and my wife, we, for whatever reason, for the past 2 years, we have skipped winter every year somehow. We've either been traveling to different countries, or we just, for whatever reason, just miss winter every time. It's been awesome. And then we were in Kansas City for Christmas, and it was winter. Like, it was cold, snowing, like, it was freezing. And my body was in complete shock because it had been so long since I had been in that sort of weather. Very, very different scenarios, but it caught me off guard. And all I'm saying is these Bucks players they are not used to that as of right now. Maybe that short-term memory has a factor in this game.
Yeah. I think it definitely can play a factor. But look, I mean, the Bucks and Packers, it's going to be an incredible game.
Oh, yeah.
I think that, you know, I guess let me ask you this. Before we kind of break it down and talk about it, who do you think is going to win this game?
I really think that the Bucks will win this game, and I think it's the Brady effect. I think Aaron Rodgers is so good too. I think that I just think that the Bucks have a more complete team on defense. So if I think there's a team that has an edge, I think it is the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Devin White was out in the wild card game versus Washington. And I think that their defense played much, much better against the Saints, obviously forcing all those turnovers. Right. I think they're a more complete team than the Packers. The Packers on offense are a better team than the Bucks, but I just think that on defense, the Bucks have the edge. So I would give the Bucks the edge in this matchup.
Yeah, okay. I definitely agree with you. I think the Bucks do have the edge, and I agree with everything you say, that I think the Bucks do have the edge on the defensive side. Obviously the Packers have struggled. They were really good throughout the year, giving not as many points to wide receivers, and you're kind of shutting down the field for the wide receivers. They had a really good secondary, but the front four is terrible. They can't defend the run, and you know, we saw Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones kind of doing the dual thing during the game. They had pretty good runs, and I think, you know, Bruce Arians is going to let them loose. That he needs to let them loose. Tom is going to let them loose. You know, I mean,
they played great.
For the Packers side, obviously, when they played the Rams didn't get Cam Akers involved early enough.
Yeah.
You know, second half, when Cam Akers came out, he was running the ball. Imagine if he did that during the first, they would have scored. They would have had more points on the board. They would have done a lot more damage than...
Yeah.
We saw, I mean, he rushed for 90-something yards. I think he was for 18 for 92 or something like that. So if they can do the same, if they can come out strong, the Bucks, and rush the ball and get the Packers to come out three and out maybe twice, three times at least, then they win the game.
There's probably an argument here that, hey, they shut down Aaron Donald. How, you know, they can shut down a lot of people. You know, that's probably the argument. Aaron Donald was not a factor at all in that game. So we do have to give props. He was hurt, right, but he's still Aaron Donald. So we do have to still give props to the Packers. And let's be honest, I do think Devonta Adams had the best of Jalen Ramsey in that game.
Hmm.
Here's the thing that I think we need to potentially discuss. They have already faced this year. These teams have faced each other.
Yeah.
And at first, it looked like this was in Green Bay. It looked like a Packers blowout. And then out of nowhere, the Bucks put up like 31 straight points and win the game. So we have seen a sample size so far of this defense changing the game versus the Packers.
Right.
That's, you know, will they learn from their mistakes? Will the Packers learn from those mistakes? Or will what's happened be the template to continue? So let's make some predictions. I personally think that the Bucks win this game. Too many offensive weapons, and the defense has an edge for me. I think the only way that the Bucks don't win this game is if the weather really is a factor. If it's a snowstorm, I think the Packers have a better chance to win this game. But if it is pretty cold, I think I do take the Bucks, and I think the Bucks win this game 31-24.
I don't personally see the weather playing a huge factor, especially on Tom.
Okay.
Tom specifically, and even for these young players around him, he's gonna look them straight in the eyes and say, you know, don't be a little punk. It's just some snow, just some rain. It's cold. I get it. You know? So yeah. I do take the Bucks though. I take the Bucks.
Okay.
I think they win this. I think it's going to be a shootout. I see it being a really high score game. I think I see 45-32 for the Bucks.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, this is obviously going to be a fun game to watch. I'm pretty excited to see this.
Yeah.
Last game, we saw the Bucks probably send Drew Brees into retirement. We saw the Packers handle the Rams pretty well. So there's going to be a lot of storylines to follow in this game. Now, let's quickly talk about Patreon. Patreon.com/FantasylandFam. We are gearing up for the offseason for year two. We're going to be talking about the NFL draft. We're going to be talking about mock drafts for the fantasy football year. There's a lot of things that we're going to be going into. And you can actually support us in our dream to bring you fantasy football content, football content year round. Yep. By supporting us through Patreon. Patreon.com/FantasylandFam is the easiest way to support us in our dream. And if you like the content, go ahead and check it out. See if you can potentially do something like that. The next matchup is the Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, Badaki. Boy. Both of these teams are so fun to watch, but it wasn't fun to watch the Bills-Ravens game at all, was it? It was not a fun game to watch.
Nah, it definitely wasn't. They definitely took this game, just went away. After Lamar went out, it just kind of went downhill for the Ravens. And I think we all believed that the Bills was going to win the game, personally. But look, I'm excited. I thought
Ravens would, but yeah.
I'm really excited for this game. These are the two young guys, the two new faces, essentially, of the NFL. And these guys are going to
poster boys
leave it all out.
Yeah, I agree. Poster boys. Obviously, the question mark is Patrick Mahomes' health. Will he be ready to go for this game? I think, let's be honest, I don't see a scenario where the Chiefs don't put him out there. Like, even if there's some protocol they're not able to get past, you got to slide some money somewhere. Like, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to be in this game. Unless, of course, it is dangerous for his health. That is probably the number one priority. But when Patrick Mahomes went down, the Chiefs turned to Chad Henne.
Wow.
And this dude delivered. I mean, he threw a terrible pick. But other than that pick, he played a great game and he closed out the game. Patrick Mahomes, after the game, tweeting out hashtag anything is possible. What a moment for Chad Henne, the backup. And to be honest, he did come in clutch. Andy Reid on fourth down. No one really thought, I guess from watching the game, I don't think anyone thought they were going to go for it on that fourth down.
No.
But Andy Reid said, hey, this is my time to shine and play, threw a clutch play call out there to win the game.
Bang! Bang! It's good! Wins the game at the buzzer!
That play ultimately put them into the AFC Championship.
No, absolutely. Let me ask you this. Patrick Mahomes doesn't play. Is there any chance the Chiefs wins the game?
Yeah, there's a chance because while Patrick Mahomes is the greatest player on this team, there is still a lot of talent on this team.
Let me rephrase.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can Chad Henne take this team to the Super Bowl?
I think he can, but I think the scenario is more likely that he doesn't. You know, I think it wouldn't surprise me, but I don't think that, you know, there's a more likely scenario if you told me Mahomes is out that the Bills win this game than the Chiefs win this game. And I think a big part of that is what we've seen from the Bills defense as of late. They have actually stepped up and played pretty decently. Last week against the Ravens, they were great. A great defense. Lamar could not get anything going. They had a great game plan going in. I think it's easier to game plan around Lamar than it is Mahomes. But with that being said, they still answered the call, only allowing, 3 points for the Ravens in total, and they had that return touchdown. This defense stepped up in a big way. Can they do it again against the best offense in the NFL? That's the question.
Yeah. Look, it definitely makes sense. Oh, man, concussions have been iffy, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, this year we've seen concussions. We saw David Johnson out with a concussion. He was out for 3 weeks.
David Montgomery.
we saw Monty with a concussion, I'm pretty sure, and he was out for a week. You know, yep. if this trend continues to Patrick Mahomes, I'm getting ready to gear up and say Patrick Mahomes doesn't play, they lose this game. And yeah. I'm really hesitant on saying that because I do believe they can win. You know, they do have talent, yeah. but I think Chad Henne would make one too many mistakes.
Right.
To where they will lose the game. You know, Andy Reid, someone's going to have to step up. You know, is Clyde going to come back? Can Clyde come back and run
right.
more? Is it going right. to be Le'Veon Bellis running? You know, Chad Henne,
so weird that they didn't
can
use
make
Le'Veon
the throws.
More.
Say that again.
It's so weird they didn't use Le'Veon more in that last game to me. I felt like they didn't utilize him much, and I'm just curious as to why. Do they think he's just done? Do they think there's not that talent there anymore? I don't know. It's interesting, but you do bring up a great point. With Chad Henne as a starting quarterback, I think we both would probably choose the Bills as the winner of this game.
Right.
And that changes everything dramatically. But with Mahomes in, let's assume that Mahomes is going to start this game. What's your prediction? What do you see happening?
I think it's the same as who, or not the same. I predicted this with the Titans, but it was going to be who's going to have the ball last.
Okay.
So yeah. I think they're going to be head to head. You know, they're going to be scoring back and forth. They're going to have some three and outs. Who's going to have the ball last? Is Patrick Mahomes going to drive him, or is Josh Allen going to drive them down the field to win the game? They're either going to win by a touchdown or a field goal. It's going to be like that. It's going to be a last minute one. And look, I've not that I don't want to see Patrick Mahomes win. I think we saw him win last year. I would love to see Josh Allen win this year.
Okay, but as much as you would love to see anything, what do you think will happen? What is your prediction here?
I genuinely believe that the Bills can win.
Okay, so you're saying the Bills will win this game with Patrick Mahomes starting?
Yes. That sounds
what's
crazy,
your score, then?
But I want to play devil's advocate here. I believe that the Bills can win and will win.
Okay, so the Bills win this game for you in your mind. What's the final score then?
Not by a lot.
It's
like 20-17.
Okay.
You know, it's nothing crazy.
All right. I personally think the Chiefs win this game. I think the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. I've been saying that all year. Did I live in Kansas City? Yes. Do I love the Chiefs? Yeah, of course. But I still think it's not. They are the most talented team right now. They are the team that is set up to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. I think they win with Mahomes back there. If Henne is back there, I don't think they win. But assuming Mahomes is there, I think the Chiefs win 35-24 against these Bills. Bills have a great team. But this is going to be. This is going to be the battle for the next decade. Can the Bills, you know, there will be a narrative that's going to be formed. The Bills and the Chiefs, you know, will we look back in 20 years and say, damn, Josh Allen was a great quarterback, but he could never get over those Chiefs. You know, I think there is a narrative that will be formed. Or maybe, hey, Josh Allen stopped this Patrick Mahomes dynasty. Who knows? But it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Quickly want to highlight, we're about to talk about our top five picks for the upcoming 2021 NFL draft, but I quickly want to highlight again our Facebook group, okay? This is a Fantasyland football community.
Yeah.
This is your chance to be part of a group. It's facebook.com/groups/FantasylandFam. Badaki, tell the people about it quickly.
Yeah, look, it's just a way that you guys can come and interact with each other and with us. It's just, you know, put your predictions in the chat, put your predictions in the group. We're talking about our predictions. We will love to hear yours in that Facebook group. You know, we talk about our next segment, the top five NFL drafts for 2021. We would like to hear yours. You know, there's a bunch of different people that have different opinions, and we think that is a good opportunity for everyone just to have conversations with each other. You know, when breaking news happens, you know, you can hear it from that group or drafts, trades, like Zach said earlier, anything that is fantasy related or football related. We would love you guys to come and just create and have a community for you if you don't have one already.
And I know we've got a lot of Dolphins fans out there who had a lot to say about the Deshaun Watson to Miami rumors. This is your place to discuss it. This is your place to say, hey, this is what I think. let's talk about it. So yeah. Would love for that to grow this year. We're going to put a lot of effort into making sure it does. Would love for you to be a part of it. Okay, all you got to do is click join and we will accept that invite. But let's talk about our top five 2021 NFL mock draft.
I'm a firm believer where you go is more important than when.
All right, Badaki and I do not have the same top five, okay? And we're going to talk about it in depth. And Badaki's got some maybe franchise-altering thoughts for this first overall pick. I will quickly say the Jags are on the clock, and I think it's a lock. I think it's pinned in right now that Trevor Lawrence is going to the Jacksonville Jaguars, number one overall. According to PFF, he's the only quarterback who has played 200 snaps against the blitz over the last 3 years and graded over 90 on those snaps. We know this. He's a generational talent. Is that going to translate to the NFL? I believe it does. But you have a different thought process for the Jags, number one overall.
Yeah, look, so my number one overall draft pick, in my opinion, is Justin Fields. And let me tell you why. And that sounds crazy. But look, I think it all depends on who they hire as a head offensive coach.
Okay.
If Urban Meyer comes in and says, there's a lot of talks of who's a top prospect of the head coach. There's a Scott Linehan, who was a former Cowboys offensive coordinator. I think he was a head coach for the Lions back in the day and for the Rams. But look, he is the top prospect right now for the offensive coaching job, which is good good and bad for Justin Fields, because Justin, you know, he doesn't run the correct scheme for Justin Fields. You know, obviously Justin Fields, I believe he can sit in the pocket, but I think he's more of an RPO guy, and he can move around. He can use his legs, right? But there's also other talks of Raheem Morris going. This is all speculations, mind you. So please take that with a grain of salt, but I'm coming with you with this perspective because I believe Justin Fields could be a great fit with Urban Meyers. Okay. Yeah. Raheem Morris is another candidate, and also Doug Peterson. And we all know what Doug Peterson has done in Philly, you know, with Jalen Hurst. He does like to run that RPO run option play.
Well, with Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz out of the draft, he was – Doug Peterson was a big reason why he became the quarterback he was for a time being.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Justin Fields can play that. So, but look, I think it's kind of like a fairy tale story. Urban Meyer was a head coach for Ohio State. Justin Fields was technically the quarterback for Ohio State. And they're going to come in and have like Ohio State reunion, even though they didn't play together. He wasn't coaching him. He didn't play for this coach. But
he was probably a big reason he went to Ohio State, though.
Say that again?
He was probably a big reason why he went to Ohio State.
Exactly. They have that culture ingrained in them, no matter. Urban Meyer has passed that down to everyone else in that facility in Ohio State, and Justin Fields is there. So, look, I think personally, in my opinion, I think Justin Fields is the best quarterback for the NFL right now with his talent. And when I say for the NFL, I mean the way the NFL is going. You know, want a mobile quarterback. You want somebody that can do the RPO. You also want the guy that can sit in the pocket, like a Trevor Lawrence. Justin Fields can sit in the pocket.
Trevor Lawrence isn't a pocket passer, though. He's not. We've had this conversation. He's not a pocket quarterback. He's not. He is mobile. He's a mobile quarterback as well.
I know. I understand that. I understand that. But I don't think that wherever team he goes to, he is going to be this guy that sits in the pocket. Or he's going to be mobile. Sorry. I don't think when Trevor Lawrence, no matter what team he goes to, wow, you know, your height's great. So let's develop you to stay in the pocket. I could be wrong. You know, it was the same thing. Like Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence was the same height as Josh Allen. I think he has a similar build. Josh Allen's probably a little bit more beefier, has a little bit more weight to him. But I just believe that they want somebody more schematic, somebody that can be a little bit faster.
Okay.
We have to see both of their 40s to see who's faster, Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence. I believe Justin Fields could be a little bit faster.
Yeah.
But we obviously a lot of things when the combine happens, we need to find out those true numbers. So I that's why I'm taking Justin Fields to go to the Jags. A lot of asterisks on this, but I think this is a good possibility.
Okay. I don't think it's happening. I don't think there's a chance that Justin Fields goes to the Jags. I think Trevor Lawrence is he's literally in permanent marker. It's already been shipped to the NFL draft. They already have that draft selection shipped, ready to go, locked in. Trevor Lawrence is going to go number one overall. And he does have the mobile ability as a quarterback as well. I think he's obviously the best quarterback prospect we've talked about since Andrew Luck, maybe. That's not to downgrade Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields is great. I think he's got a great opportunity to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback potentially. But Trevor Lawrence is the guy that I just don't think there's a chance he doesn't go number one. But so you have Justin Fields, I have Trevor Lawrence. Next on the clock is the New York Football Jets. Assuming Trevor Lawrence goes, I'll say my next pick. I believe the offensive tackle out of Oregon, Penei Sewell, will be the next person off of the board. And there's a little bit of an asterisk we need to say collectively for picks 2, 3, and 5. I believe that picks 2 with the Jets, 3 with the Dolphins, and 5 with the Bengals, these are all picks that could easily be traded out of.
Right.
For teams that want quarterbacks, teams that want offensive weapons, for whatever reason, these are picks that teams could move back. But assuming the Jets don't move back, I'm taking the offensive tackle out of Oregon. He is maybe the best player in this draft, from what people have said.
Right.
I'll read you a quote. Sewell, he played in 14 games last season and was not credited with giving up a sack in 926 snaps. In fact, he's only been credited with giving up one sack in 1,376 collegiate snaps. He opted out of the 21 season in the Pac-12. During the pandemic, he wanted to focus on the NFL draft. But this guy's mix of power, athleticism, speed, a lot of people really believe that he is the best prospect in this draft over Trevor Lawrence, over Justin Fields, over Devonta Smith, Ja'Marr Chase. A lot of people are saying he is the one can't-miss pick in this draft. I think in this scenario, Robert Saleh is believing in Sam Darnold. And that's the question with this.
Right.
Does Robert Saleh believe in Sam Darnold?
Right.
Because if he does, then this pick makes absolute sense. Get some help on the offensive line, and then maybe through the free agency or the second round or the third round of the draft, they have a late first round pick. They can get a weapon in to help Sam Darnold as well. But again, there is an asterisk here because I think there's a lot of teams that could trade up to take a Justin Fields at number 2. I think the 49ers, I think the Panthers, Lions, Broncos, Washington, and Indianapolis are all teams that I could see potentially moving up in this draft to get a guy like Justin Fields. But my number 2 pick is Penei Sewell from Oregon.
Yeah. I love Penei Sewell. I think he's a great guy. Let me tell you my number 2, and I'm going to tell you where Penei Sewell falls for me. So my number 2 is Trevor Lawrence. Once again, like Zach said, right, there is an asterisk on 2, 3, 4. Okay. The Jets, and obviously, the Jets wouldn't have expected to take Justin Fields, or they just wouldn't have expected the Jags to take Justin Fields. So who's the next best available player on the board? It's Trevor Lawrence, a quarterback.
Right.
What Zach's been saying, a franchise quarterback, best since Andrew Luck. Okay. Robert Saleh is not going to pass up that opportunity. Clearly, Sam Darnold's still on the team. What happened with Sam Darnold? Sam Darnold, either during the draft or in the offseason, after the draft, is going to be traded. I believe there's a couple teams that he could get traded to. I see Trevor Lawrence going to the Jets, okay? And then the Jets trading Sam Darnold, either during the draft to the Pats, to the Colts, to the Lions, like all the same teams as Zach just mentioned. I feel like Sam Darnold could be a good fit for all those teams. There is a lot of, from what we've read and what we've researched and what everyone is saying, there's still a lot of untapped potential in Sam Darnold. A lot of people still believe that he is a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, well, Adam Gase isn't really the guy to bring that out of people, is he?
Yeah, and it's crazy. Like, I believe wherever Sam Darnold falls or goes to, or even if he stays with the Jets with this new head coach, he will flourish. I truly believe that. He's going to be a lot better than what he was his first 3 years. And Trevor Lawrence is going to be number two.
Yeah. I get that in your scenario. If Trevor Lawrence is on the board at number two, you can't pass him up.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the reason in my scenario that I didn't take a quarterback for the Jets at number two overall is Lawrence is off the board. And we did see those reports that come out that Robert Saleh and his offensive coordinator both think that there is a lot of untapped potential with Darnold. That leads me to believe they maybe want to see what they have with him. They have a pick later in the draft from Seattle at 23. Maybe that's where they get a weapon. But in your scenario, you're right. If Trevor Lawrence is on the board, you're obviously taking Trevor Lawrence and seeing what draft compensation you can get for Sam Darnold in return.
Correct. So then in turn, number three would be, for me, Penei Sewell. Once again, what Zach said, everything Dolphins. From Penei Sewell is absolutely right. He's talented. He is the best prospect out of the NFL draft other than your quarterbacks. He is the best player available on the board. He is going to go to a team that needs help. Okay, the Dolphins just got Tua. They also drafted Austin Jackson last year. They need to continue to protect Tua. And if they believe in Tua, clearly, quote unquote, they do. And they want to build his confidence according to what's happening in that organization. They need to get him somebody that can protect him. I think they have just enough weapons for him to kind of mess with Devonta Parker. They have Preston Williams. They have Miles Gaskin. They have Mike Gesicki. I think they're kind of decent with their weapons. They can probably get somebody else in the offseason. But Penei Sewell, you need to protect your quarterback, protect your investment. Yeah. And that's where Penei Sewell falls. It's the Miami Dolphins.
All right. I like it. And I think if he's on the board at three, I think all Dolphins fans would probably really enjoy that. And we have a lot of Dolphins fans who listen to the pod. And I just want to say you're probably going to enjoy our picks. You know, Penei Sewell, for me, at number three, I think maybe it's a surprise to some people.
Yeah.
But I see Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU, the wide receiver, going to the Dolphins at number three. And again, there is such an asterisk on this number three pick. I really feel like three has maybe the biggest chance of being traded. And whether that's, again, it's just a theory, whether that's for Deshaun Watson, for whatever, maybe they go back in the draft to get more assets for a team that does want to come up and take a Zach Wilson or, you know, one of these quarterbacks. I think this is the most likely pick to be moved, in my opinion. The Dolphins have shown us that they are a smart organization. They have changed a lot of their ways, and that started 2 years ago when they started cashing in a bunch of assets for draft picks.
Right.
And now the Texans look a little bit like fools, where they could have had the third overall pick. But let's talk about the scenario where the Dolphins don't trade this pick. Again, that's the scenario we're in. And I think Ja'Marr Chase is the clear pick for me. I think it's a great option. You say Tua's the guy. Give him a guy to absolutely have the chance to prove that. There's no excuses. If Ja'Marr Chase goes to the Dolphins, there's no more excuses to say, well, he needs weapons. Well, he needs another year to develop. No, you've got the guy. Let's see if you can actually be the quarterback that you say you can be or that people believe that you can be. The question that most people probably are thinking, Badaki, is what about Devonta Smith? And Devonta Smith is a great wide receiver. I think he's talented. There's hype. And I think that is for good reason. The Heisman winner, all the accolades, 2 times national championship winner. I think Devonta Smith absolutely does not escape the top 7 picks in this draft. But I think Ja'Marr Chase is the more NFL-ready guy right now, okay? He opted out for the 2020 season because of the pandemic and decided to focus on the 2021 draft, sorry. But let's not forget what this LSU team was when Joe Burrow was there. Potentially right. the best offensive team college football has ever seen. Let's look at Ja'Marr Chase's stats from 2019. The last time he played college football, 84 receptions, over 1,700 yards, an SEC record, by the way, and 20 touchdowns. That's also an SEC record. He averaged 21 yards per reception. Averaged 21 yards of reception? That's crazy. And obviously, he went on to win the top wide receiver award for last year. And the last thing I'll say on this is we all know Justin Jefferson, right? If you listen to the podcast, you know I'm obsessed with Justin Jefferson. Remember the guy who broke Randy Moss's rookie record for reception yards? Friendly reminder that he was the wide receiver two to Ja'Marr Chase last year. He wasn't the wide receiver one there. And that's not to belittle Jefferson, because Jefferson is so talented.
Right.
And man, he has shown to be the asset that he is. But it's almost a friendly reminder to say, hey, Ja'Marr Chase has more talent potentially than Justin Jefferson. That's how LSU saw it. Is that going to happen in the NFL? Of course, we don't know what will happen, but that's how LSU saw it. They saw that Ja'Marr Chase was more talented than Justin Jefferson at that time. He's 6'1", 200 pounds. I think he is the guy to unlock this offense. You want to say no more excuses for Tua? All right, Tua, you got Miles Gaskin. You've got Mike Gesicki. Devontae Parker slides to the wide receiver too. Ja'Marr Chase is your guy. And I just think if you want to see what you have out of Tua and you're sold on him, give him a guy. Give him a weapon like this, because the defense is set. I think this is the best pick for the Dolphins in my mind.
Yeah. I like Ja'Marr Chase. I think this is, once again, like I think we said asterisks. This is so high for Ja'Marr Chase, I believe.
I feel like I just read a novel, by the way.
You're really high. Wow. Ja'Marr Chase to the Washington football team.
Oh, that's not, I wish, but I really think a lot of us, you know, are caught up a little bit in the hype of Devonta Smith right now. I think that's ultimately what I'm trying to point at. Hey, Devonta Smith was amazing, and a lot of people say he's the best college wide receiver ever, and it's hard to disagree with that. I just think that there's more potential with Ja'Marr Chase. I think he is the more NFL type wide receiver.
Right. I definitely agree with you. I think he is the more ready NFL wide receiver, and I think the Dolphins shouldn't be prioritizing. No, I was going to say, I don't think the Dolphins should be prioritizing weapons, but they
need to do that.
Yeah. Like you need it. You need it, 'cause you don't really have anyone.
And honestly, you know, here's the thing. At this point in the draft, top five, top 10 picks, it's less about what you need and more about pure, like, what's the most talented player on the board? Who's the best player on the board? It's less about filling holes and more about X factors that could come along for your team.
Yeah.
So we've got our first three picks, right? For me, it's Trevor Lawrence, Penei Sewell, and Ja'Marr Chase. For you, you've got Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Penei Sewell. Now we fall to the fourth pick in the draft, which is the Atlanta Falcons. They're on the board. In your mock draft, who's going to the Falcons?
Right. Okay. So in my eyes, the Falcons go with Zach Wilson. Okay.
Okay.
Everything that we heard about Zach Wilson has been very positive, but also very, but remember, he didn't have the best, or he didn't play, you know, against any good teams.
Who did he play, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, it's always like, he's a good quarterback, but he had a really easy schedule. Which, you know, that could be the case. But this is my scenario. I think the Falcons go with Zach Wilson. I think they're thinking about Matt Ryan. And obviously, we all know Matt Ryan is coming to the end. Matt Ryan technically has one more year in his contract. So they go with a quarterback.
Right? I thought he had two. I thought he had two.
Say that again?
I thought he had 2 years, but I could be wrong.
Well, I think I read that he had one more year. I think 2 years was this year. But, I could be wrong. So... just double check that.
He signed a five-year deal in 2018. So he does have 2 years left on that contract.
So he has 2 more years. Zach Wilson comes. He sits for a year. Okay. And then what happens is that either Matt Ryan leaves. Maybe he retires within that year. Or maybe he realizes his year is up or whatever the case may be. And Zach Wilson starts. I think they would like Zach Wilson to come in and really be this franchise quarterback with him, with Matty Ice experience. You know, there's a lot of things that Zach Wilson does have. He has incredible arm strength. Mm. He can run the ball really well, and he's a great decision maker on the field. And I think, once again, the NFL is going to more of an RPO, of more mobile quarterbacks, and how everyone, they like mobile quarterbacks. And Zach Wilson is mobile. He's not the biggest guy. He's not, you know, the most talented, like a freaking, he's not 6'5 that can run like Trevor Lawrence or whatever the case may be. But he kind of reminds me of kind of like a Kyler. He's a little bit taller than Kyler. He could run. He's fast. He moves. He could throw the ball. You know,
he's got the modern day NFL assets. Right?
One more time.
He's got the modern day NFL assets. You know, as a quarterback, what the modern day quarterback is, he's got that.
Yeah, he has those things. I definitely think he needs development, and I don't think the Falcons are necessarily in a place where they need to just scrap and rebuild.
Right.
They have pieces. They still have Julio, they have Calvin. They just signed Hayden Hurst to a 3-year deal. Mm-hmm. 2-year deal, something like that. They have these pieces around them.
Yeah, I agree. I could see that happening. I think we both agree the Falcons will take a quarterback in this draft. The thing that sucks is Matt Ryan's actually on contract until 2023. He'll be a free agent in 2024, which means there is $28 million in dead cap in 2023 if you were to trade this guy. So that's a big factor in the Falcons' decision going forward. But how often will you be top four and have a chance to get a young quarterback like this? That's the question the Falcons have to decide. We both believe they do take a quarterback. And my scenario, Justin Fields is still on the board. And I think this is the dream scenario for both Justin Fields and Falcon fans. Obviously, Justin Fields is from Georgia.
Yeah.
He would love to play in Atlanta. And could you imagine Justin Fields as a rookie having Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley on each side? That is a dream scenario for a young quarterback. Mm. Maybe put in a place to succeed more than any other quarterback if he does fall to Atlanta. The weapons will be crazy. And new head coach, Arthur Smith, hey, stepping in, I'm sure he would have had a conversation with ownership. Hey, I want to take a guy and work with him to be the future of this franchise. I'm sure you would have had that conversation. In this scenario, I do think in this draft, Matt Ryan is the obvious loser, right? He's not going to be put in a great scenario.
Right.
But it does give the Falcons a lot of flexibility on how to grow a guy like Fields or Wilson. In my scenario, Fields. Do you allow him to learn under Ryan? Maybe you trade Matty Ice away. It's going to take maybe you won't get a lot of assets to trade Matt Ryan because of his contract. But in my scenario, you do take Justin Fields. This team has a lot of holes. But a guy like Justin Fields is a guy who could potentially maybe overlook or cover or be the glue for those holes in the defense. Maybe because of his talent. Maybe because of what he can do that Matt Ryan just can't do. He can extend the plays where Matt Ryan can't get out of the pocket to save his life. Justin Fields could be the guy to, I don't think they become a playoff team, but I think they have the pieces in place to get back to the playoffs. And yeah, the question is Zach Wilson or Justin Fields. That's the big question, right? That's the big question. Who is the quarterback to in this draft?
I think it's going to be a really hard decision for the head coach, Arthur Smith, to come in and say, tell this organization Matt Ryan's done. That is going to be the hardest part. And the easiest way for him to do that, in my opinion, is to come in and say, we have Zach Wilson. He's not ready, but we still got Matt Ryan. He's coming to the end. He can tutor this guy. He can bring him up. Let's see what Zach Wilson can do with 1 year or 2 years under his belt under Matt Ryan. I don't think Justin Fields is going to be happy going. Let me rephrase that. I think he will be happy. He's going to be happy he made it to the NFL. I think Justin Fields is a quarterback that needs to start now.
Well, let's be clear. In this scenario, Justin Fields is going to be the starter. It might not be day one, but it might be week six. You know, in this scenario, Justin Fields will be that starter. The thing we can both agree on is that the Falcons will take a quarterback in this draft, right?
Yeah, we can definitely both agree on one more thing.
Okay.
Watching Matt Ryan this year, is he done?
Well, that's the thing.
Do you think that if he had a better running back, a better offensive line, because Matt Ryan was still throwing touchdowns. He was just bombing it and making them lose games. He was making them drive. He was driving the team down. He was at best
an average quarterback. You know, he was an average quarterback. And unfortunately, here's a scenario you got to think about as a Falcons. If you were the owner of the Falcons right now, what do you take a different piece, and then what? You're at best 7-9, 8-8 next year, right? And you're out of the position to select one of the top quarterbacks. You never know when you're going to be back in the position, because we both believe the Falcons have a lot of talent on this team. They could easily go 7-9, 8-8, 9-7 next year, and they would be out of the position to take a top quarterback in next year's draft. If there is any time to do it with the bunch of talent that's in this draft, it's this draft to take a quarterback. And I think we don't know what will happen with Matt Ryan, but I think it is time that they make a very clear statement. It is the end of his, you know, safety as a starter for this team.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be sad to see Matt Ryan. I don't know. I just don't want him to go through like the whole Eli thing.
Totally. I get it. I think there is a team out there for Matt Ryan still. And I'm not sure exactly who that team is, but man, that contract's going to make it really difficult to give him that opportunity. But okay, the top four picks are on the board, Badaki.
Yeah.
Pick number five is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh boy.
Who are you taking at number five? Obviously, in your scenario, you know, who's on the board is different for me. In your scenario, Jags go Justin Fields, Jets go Trevor Lawrence, Dolphins go Penei Sewell, and the Falcons go Zach Wilson. So the Bengals are on the board. What do they do?
Yeah, so Bengals on the board. They're looking at it. They're seeing who's available right now. And the best available wide receiver is Devonta Smith. Okay. Obviously.
Not Jamar Chase, because we see differently there.
Right. So I believe that you are right. Jamar Chase is technically let me rephrase that. Devontae Smith may not be the best receiver in the NFL, but he is somebody that can open the field. Where Jamar Chase is your one-on-one, we're going to go deep potentially guy. Your scenario, you had him lined up with with Devonta Parker on the other side. And he was going to be wide receiver. He's going to jump to wide receiver one, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think Devonta Smith goes to a team like the Bengals, is going to be a wide receiver two, wide receiver three, with Rashad Higgins, with Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green. I mean, A.J. Green is technically going to be gone by then. So I think, you know, Joe Burrow is the quarterback.
But Devonta Smith is not going to be a wide receiver three on any team, bro.
Well, you're not
taking a guy in the top five to be a wide receiver three.
Well, that's when they have the talent. The Bengals have talent already in that position.
Yeah.
They have Tyler Boyd, which is, you know, essentially your bigger type receiver. I doubt AJ Green is going to be there anymore. Rashad Higgins essentially is kind of the same size. I think he'll be a little bit more physical. Devonta Smith is clearly there. You mean T. Higgins, right?
I mean, I was like, why are we talking about Rashad Higgins? You mean T. Higgins?
T. Higgins.
Sorry, I was like so confused. Yeah.
Sorry, T. Higgins was he's there to open up the field. Devonta Smith is there to open up the field for Tyler Boyd, for T. Higgins, for Joe Burrow. I think that Joe Burrow is going to get these weapons for him. And we all know what Devontae Smith can do. We saw what he did in the national championship. We saw what he can do. Obviously, there's a big speculation about his size. Is he going to be is he a big receiver? Is he good enough? He's really fast. The yards after the catch is amazing. He has a really strong hands, and he's physical. He's a guy that can go and get the ball. Yeah, but his size, his size. I think he'll become a slot receiver in the NFL. I think he will become a slot receiver for Joe Burrow and this team, because they don't have, like, Tyler Boyd is going to be a deep down guy. T. Higgins is going to be on the other side with Tyler Boyd, and then Devonta Smith right in the middle.
Okay.
That's right. How I see it.
Yeah, and obviously Tyler Boyd's not going to be there forever. So, no, I get where you're coming from. I also have Devonta Smith going to the Bengals at 5. I think he is the second best wide receiver in the draft. Honestly, I think if Ja'Marr Chase is available, then the Bengals have to take Ja'Marr Chase, especially with the connection with Joe Burrow. But I just want to... Yeah.
I think it's pretty hard for any NFL team to look at what somebody did a whole year ago.
Totally. No, I agree.
And don't get me wrong, like somebody like Penel Sewell, and like you can see his tape, but he hasn't played in a whole year. You know, someone like Ja'Marr Chase, he opted out. He hasn't played in a whole year. So I wonder, I'm really curious of how NFL teams are going to approach this draft. And you know what? Well, Devonta Smith played. Ja'Marr Chase's draft capital has really been hurt purely because he opted out, which is completely understandable. But we need to know, we need to go by what we have for this year in our paper. Yeah.
I get you.
You know, so that's really interesting. So.
I agree that Devonta Smith could go to the Bengals. I get like the recency bias, but man, I just think Ja'Marr Chase is the best wide receiver in the draft. But I really think that other than the Dolphins, this might be the most likely scenario where a team does trade down, because there's a lot of weapons available at 5 that a lot of teams could use, like a Devonta Smith. There's a lot of teams that would maybe like to, Zach Wilson still on the board. Maybe they trade up to 5. And I think if there's any team that needs to trade down, it is the Bengals, because, you know, they have Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins already on the roster. They have Joe Mixon already on the roster. There's a lot of offensive weapons that they can have Joe Burrow grow with. But what do they absolutely need? An offensive line. And there are tackles later in the draft that they could trade back for. And they also need help anywhere on the defensive end. But let's say they don't trade back. At this point, you do have to take the best player on the board. And I do think that the best player on the board, in my scenario, Lawrence going 1, Sewell going 2, Ja'Marr Chase 3, and Fields 4, the best player on the board for me is Devonta Smith. I think he is an X factor. I think what we saw in college is something that can translate to the NFL. You don't have to be a massive big wide receiver to make an impact in the NFL. These speed guys are more and more having the impact over the guys who can just go one-on-one. This is the most well-known prospect in the draft. You know him. He's a Heisman winner, 2 times national championship. He can fit the modern-day NFL, and I think you place him in an offense like Cincinnati when Joe Burrow is back. You do have a real opportunity to give Joe Burrow every weapon he needs to succeed.
Correct.
So I think the Bengals should trade down, but if they don't, it's Devonta Smith off the board.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I think that is going to be something special. I also believe that the Bengals could get Kyle Pitts. Same scenario. It's just a different person. Kyle Pitts comes in. He's a tight end. He's a big physical guy. They don't go with the wide receiver. Once again, this is a trade down scenario. Or maybe they take Kyle Pitts in the 5th. But Kyle Pitts, which is, if you don't know, he's a tight end out of Florida. I think he
super could be talented. That guy. And it's almost like, again, it's almost like disrespectful to say he's a tight end, because this dude is he's a wide receiver playing tight end. Yeah, he's massive.
Yeah, I just think that it's the same scenario, just so you guys understand. Like,
I can
it's
see that
all happen. About when Joe Burrow comes back. It's really hard to say if Joe Burrow is going to play in the year coming. There's a lot of doubt that he's going to play. A lot of people say that he should sit out the whole year. don't let him come back at all. And which means what gives either Devonta Smith the time to get reps in the NFL for a whole year or Kyle Pitts to get reps in the NFL for a whole year. And then, hey, Joe Burrow is back. Our quarterback is here. We're full throttle. So yeah. I think it can be something interesting. And I'm actually really excited to see what's going to happen. And it sucks that freaking Joe Burrow got hurt too.
It does suck because this team is pretty much in a limbo right now of just, you know, let's wait until Joe's back. That's really what this team is in, unfortunately. But those are our top five picks. Let us know if you guys like this. If you want more mock drafts, if you want more of our opinions on the NFL draft and where people will go,
yeah.
Don't miss our next episode, which will be the wide receiver bust and breakouts of the year. We've been really liking this little series that we've been doing. We did the quarterbacks 2 weeks ago, running backs last week. And this week we're going to do the wide receiver bust and breakouts of the year. Anything you want to say to close the show, Badaki?
I'm excited for the NFL draft. And yeah, big things happening.
Big things.
Wait, just to give a little reference, Zach and I randomly, because when we have a little like burst of inspiration, yeah. We just plan for everything for Fantasyland Football, which we do already. But yeah. Last night we really took like the next step and we kind of thought about a lot of amazing ideas and a lot of cool things mm-hmm. for everyone, which we are really excited for, and we can't wait for you to hear. That's on Patreon, on Facebook, on Instagram, yeah. for our podcast, on YouTube. Our lives, it's all coming together. We're extremely excited for year two. Stay tuned.
Oh yeah,
tell a friend, tell a friend to tell a friend. Okay,
yeah, tell all your league mates too.
Yeah, because we're excited. We're really excited for year two, and I can't wait until the first week. Yeah.
Same. Thank you for all your support, your continued support. Appreciate you guys. This is our dream, and. You know, obviously Patreon is the easiest way to support that dream, but we just appreciate you for continually listening and enjoying the content. So we'll see you on the next episode. Have a good day, and we'll see you there.
See you there.
Hey. Yeah, you. The one listening to this podcast. You made a good decision today. Keep making those good decisions. You know what? Go ahead and do a little dance right now, like no one's watching. 'Cause you deserve it.